Good morning. 6:49 a.m. on August 12th. 6:49. I started this file twice, that's why. Okay. It's a gorgeous Sunday morning, and yes, I'm a little bit late this morning. It was dark. I didn't want to go out again in the dark. So I waited till the sun came up a little bit. I'm glad I did. I'm in a little better mood than I was at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I've been working it out on the road today. 17:17 on the first mile, yes. Been cranking this morning. So yesterday was one of those frustrating days where I really didn't have great chunks of time that I expected to get. Actually, I got pretty much none of the time that I expected to get. And so, yeah, I didn't make much progress. Made a little bit, but book's still not ready to go out. Tomorrow's Monday. Today's Sunday, I should be able to get some time in today. It's going to be a laundry day, though. So, probably no recording. No recording anyway, just because it's also a sprinkler and irrigation day. But I gotta get the text ready. I wanted to release last Saturday and I didn't. Because I didn't have the text ready. So I've got to deal with that. I deal with that today. Sure I am. Whoop. Walking into the bushes. I don't have a lot to say today. I've been listening and sort of re-listening to Writing Excuses. There's some interesting ideas there about villains. And one thing we would argue, I would not argue, is that I don't have really great villains. Burnside is the really archetype villain that I've got, along with Andrew Birchwood. And the only other villain was an owner's share. Excuse me. And that's kind of an odd one, because the real villain of the piece wasn't the one who did the nasty deed. And in a lot of ways, he actually helped Ishmael along the way, expecting, of course, that he was going to be richly rewarded for that help. And he probably would have been if he hadn't been greedy. So I don't have really great villains. I don't have sympathetic villains. I don't have villains that are much more than cardboard targets. So I think it's going to be my next challenge. There aren't any stand-up villains in Zyfira's Call. I suspect we may find one or two in the last book, Hermit of Lammas Wood. It's the other reason I gotta get this book out so I can start writing on that book. Other one, I gotta get Zyfira's Call out of here so that I can spend my time writing instead of reading and editing. That's some other stories I want to write. I've talked about her before, the Natalia Ruggieri story keeps coming back. And I don't know if it's going to be in the same universe as Ishmael Wong, if I'm going to start another universe. Going with something a little more tropish in terms of having jump gates instead of individual ships that fold space. The energy requirements are humongous, and I'm just sort of doing a little hand wavium to elide over that. But it's a bit pulpy is what it is. Whole Burleson Drive thing. So yeah, I've got to get that book done. It'll be a great boost. I think it was Joyce. Somebody left a comment, and I think it was Joyce, about how I need to get this book out because I need the boost. And you're absolutely right. There's nothing like having a new release to bolster productivity. There's two narrations. I think I mentioned the other one before on the podcast. The Tales to Terrify number 25 is up. That was up at the end of July. I don't know that I mentioned it. Illimitable Dominion with Walter Paisley of the Paisley Agency. That was a lot of fun. And the new one just went up Wednesday for Escape Pod. That was, I think I mentioned yesterday, that was the one that I did because Murr wrote, called to me, said, I need this done by Monday, can you do it? And of course the answer from Murr is always, yeah. No, it's not always yeah, but in this case I had no good reasons to say no other than I'm in the middle of my own stuff. Good morning. So... yeah, I got a skate pod. I've got a pseudopod coming too. Singing by the fire. I don't know when that one's coming. Not for a few weeks yet. Eastward track. Okay. Step it out. Pick up the pace. Up 2, 3, 4. I used to know all sorts of little marching rhymes when I was in the Coast Guard. In boot camp, they taught us a whole bunch. It was the first place I heard the left foot referred to as elf. Always heard it as left right, left right. There it was elf right. Elf right, elf right, elf. Elf. Elf right, elf right, elf. Elf. I don't know why. Some sort of southern take on left, or I don't know. Cape May, New Jersey. Coast Guard boot camp. September and October 1970. Yeah. I was in the band. I was in the marching band, Coast Guard, because one of my neighbors was a Coastie. And he said, yeah, he says, join the band. Join the band. You'll get out of a lot of crap. You'll have to do other crap, but you'll have a lot of fun. You'll meet some good people, and you'll get to do some cool stuff. And he was right. I did. I played bass. Not quite sure why. They gave me the bass drum. I figured I couldn't mess it up too bad. It was in large part because they had some really hotshot stick twiddlers, for the main drum line. And I had no experience playing anything but field snare. So they gave me the bass drum. One of the musician's mates who worked there, we're out marching one afternoon and evening, and we do this every day. And it's like, hit that thing, hit it harder, hit it harder. It's like, if I hit any harder, I'm going to break the head. Yeah, I'm going to break the head. Here, give me that thing. He takes a mallet, big fuzzy stick that they use to beat the bass drum with, and he starts walking along beside me, wailing on that, just wailing on the side of this drum. Sure as hell, three strokes in, bam, right through the head. And he said, oh, I guess you were right. He gave me back the mallet. Oh, God. So anyway, we got to do a lot of parades. Columbus Day at Atlantic City. We did the Columbus Day Parade in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And that was such a big deal. That was so much fun. We had Liberty that weekend. So, of course, the Coast Guard rode us up to Atlantic City, and then we took bus back. But we had Liberty in Atlantic City that weekend. And, of course, must have been 18. So I couldn't do a whole hell of a lot. And that was before Atlantic City was a casino town. It was still a pretty sleepy kind of. I mean, there was a casino. There might have been two, I think. But the biggie was the liquor store. And of course, we couldn't buy liquor because in New Jersey, the drinking age was older than 18. I think it was 20. So what we did was call the package store that delivered. And of course, on delivery, they didn't check ID. They just made the delivery, took the money, and walked away. So yeah, we got into a little bit of trouble that night. Friend Wheeler and I decided that we were going to go out in our blue jeans. Now, you have to understand that the undress, but when you're in the Coast Guard, when you're a boot in the boot in the Coast Guard, civvies are okay, but you're really supposed to be in uniform. Now, you can go out in civvies, but they have to be civvies. They can't be, you know, some sort of half-masked. So we decided we were going to see how far we could go. So we put on blue jeans, we put on our watch sweaters. I went barefoot, he went in his boondockers. And we went for a stroll down the boardwalk on Lake City. We got about halfway down. We got all the way down, about halfway back. The cop pulls over. Want to know who we were, what we were doing. And I said, well, We got a fishing boat over in the jetty. We just wanted to get off the boat, take a walk for a while, stretch our legs. We're gonna room up in the hotel. We're gonna go take a shower, get some sleep. Morning, we're gonna take the boat back on down to Virginia, my cousin's down there. He said, well, where are you from? I said, well, from Maine. Wheeler had a terrible Maine accent because he was from like Illinois or something. But he said, can you prove it? So I pull out my wallet. Of course, we'd taken all of our military ID out of the wallet so that we didn't have any military ID, which we normally would have. And so he flashes light down into my wallet, you know, and he's looking it all over. I pull out my Maine driver's license. And, yeah, this is me. Wheeler, of course, didn't have anything useful, so he left his wallet in the room. And I vouched for him. I said, yeah, he's a deckhand, worth me. And the guys, they had no probable cause, because we had a story. And they could have taken us in and checked. They could have given us a ride down to the jetty. There's any number of things that they could have done, but they they let us go. So we beat feet back. He said, why are you barefoot? And I said, I've been wearing goddamn fishing boots for 3 days. I had to get them off. It feels good. This is October. It's freezing. I said, yeah, it's a little cold. It's no colder than the Atlantic in the north. It's no colder than the water in the North Atlantic. And he laughed. He said, all right, get out of here. So we scooted. We went back to the hotel. I don't know quite why we bothered to do that, but we did. Tales of Great Ulysses. I got in so much trouble in the Coast Guard, I can't believe it. I got out with an honorable discharge, too. Go figure. In the radio and A school, Governor's Island, the guy who slept in the bottom bunk underneath me, his name was Jenkins. He had a terrible temper. He was one of these thug kids back before they were gangsters. He was a thug. He was just kind of a wiry, pugnacious, always willing to get in a fist fight over nothing. One night he woke me up, stuck his face right up next to mine. I'm in the bunk. He woke me up and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I reached off and slugged him right across the jaw. And he said, oh, you are awake. And crawled into bed. And I just realized I shut that off when I meant to just say, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And I'll talk to you then.